Blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our teacher as we look into the perfect law of liberty. Thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding and helping us to behold wondrous things from the word of life. And that which you help us to see this morning, we are asking that you help us also to remember, so that we may be doers of the word and not hearers alone, so that our profiting may appear unto all men. Thank you for speaking to us anew today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 12, and let us read together again the old chapter. Isaiah chapter 12, from verse 1 to 6. Let's go. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen and amen. We thank God that our God is great, and he is in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And because he is great, we should always expect great and mighty things when we come together in his name. Hallelujah. Well, let's back up again to verse 3. Remember the last time we began to look at the subject which we titled The Wells of Salvation. And we said quite a number of things then, and I'll just do a quick recap so that we can flow from where we stopped last time into where God wants us to be in this particular topic today. All right, but let's read verse 3 together again. Let's go. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Once again, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. So remember the last time we did emphasize that what we are reading here in chapter 12 should be taken in context in which Isaiah prophesied it along with chapter 11. And then we will understand that what Bible is saying here is about the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of the day after he has come to establish salvation for us here on earth. So we are living in that day right now. So it's not a 24-hour period. It is a long span of time until Jesus returns and God wraps everything up. So every morning when you wake up, you can declare, this is the day that God is talking about. I am living in that day. I'm living in Jesus Christ. I'm living in the salvation that he has brought. And there is within me the wells of salvation that I can draw from in order to get help in the time of need every day of my life, all my days here on earth. So say to your neighbor, there is no day that you do not have access to help, no matter what the need may be in your life. The truth is that the help is already within you in the wells of salvation. Amen and amen. Praise God. So, we said last time that whatever your need may be, the provision is available in the wells of salvation. And we looked at Romans chapter 8 verse 32 and 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Remember, Romans chapter 8 verse 32 teaches us that God, in giving us Jesus Christ, in not sparing his only begotten Son, also has freely given us all things. So say to your neighbor, God has already given you all things. He hasn't kept back anything from you. Hallelujah. In fact, Bible teaches us that it is the pleasure of God, our Father, to give us the kingdom, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 also says essentially the same thing, that God has already given us, according to his divine power, he has already given us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. So we already have everything. The question then is, if I already have everything, how come I still lack some things? You see, this is where we have to understand the difference between the spiritual and the natural. In this world, we have an adversary called the devil. We have to understand that. And he's the one working against us. He's the one trying to hinder us from receiving the physical manifestation of what God has already given us in the realm of the spirit. For instance, if I have any sickness in my body, God, my Father, looking down from heaven upon me, does not see me sick at all. Because there is no sickness in heaven. As far as God is concerned, I am not sick. Because there is no sickness in heaven, and I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. I'm a citizen of heaven, as Bible says. So God looks at me based on what is settled in heaven concerning me. And here on earth, I'm living in a physical world. Bible says as long as we are in this body, we are absent from the Lord in terms of our fullness of experience of every blessing that God has for us in manifestation. That's why we have to understand how to move out, so to say, of this realm of the physical and hook up with God in the realm of the spirit and draw into physical manifestation what is available for us in that realm. And that is where faith comes in. Faith is the only way we can, while we are here on earth, tap into what belongs to us in the spirit. You see, when we get to the New Jerusalem, Bible teaches us that we don't need faith then. Faith is only for now. Say to your neighbor, you don't need faith in the New Jerusalem. Because everything is a reality. You will see God face to face. You will know everything. And there is no devil to resist. So there is no need for faith. Amen. But while we are in this world, we need faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. So we need faith to overcome the world, even our faith. So we need faith in this physical world in order to overcome the devil, our adversary, who is walking round the clock to hinder us from receiving what is available for us in the spirit in manifestation here in the physical. You see, if the devil were to be taken out of the way at this point in time as we are talking, none of us will have any problem. Absolutely none of us will have any one problem. Because God is a good God. God wants us to have the best of everything. There will be no war here on earth for the millennial reign. Bible tells us when the devil is locked away for 1,000 years, there will be peace, there will be harmony in all the world. Why? Because the troublemaker has been taken out of the way. So if the devil could be taken out of the way at this point in time, we, every one of us here, will have perfect experience of all that God has promised us. There will be no sickness, there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, there will be no mishap of any kind. Everything will just be as God wants us to experience. So we see that the trouble really is with the devil that is hindering us, and we all need to understand how to apply faith to our lives on a daily basis, because faith will shield the devil out of our lives and at the same time open the door for God to pour from the realm of the Spirit the blessings that He has already provided for us in Christ upon us here on earth in physical manifestation. That's the way it works. There is no formula to this thing. That's why we have to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Bible says we need to build ourselves up in the knowledge of the truth on a daily basis so that we can release our faith according to the promises of God and enjoy the blessings that belong to us in Christ on a daily basis. Remember, Bible says we should come boldly unto the throne of grace when we have need, because the provision is already available for us right there. So whatsoever your need, the provision is available in the wells of salvation. Then we went on to say that the wells of salvation are in you, in the inner man, that is in your spirit. That's where the wells of salvation are. You see, the wells there talks about the streams. Put your finger right there in Isaiah chapter 12 and turn with me to Psalm 46. We have to understand that there is only one spirit who lives in us. That's the Holy Spirit. But He has many streams. That's why the Bible says wells of salvation. Wells. In other words, the flow, the outflow from that one spirit is several. So we have several outflows from one spirit. In other words, one river having many streams in order to minister to us at every point of need. There is no need in life that the stream of the Holy Spirit is not available for. One spirit, many streams. So wells of salvation is talking about the flows that we can get from one spirit who lives in us, so that no matter what the need may be, we can have assurance that there is provision for us right there in the wells of salvation. All right, Psalm 46. Let us look at that together. See, once we understand this basic truth, we'll be able to live the life that God brought for us to the fullness that He has prepared for us to live it. Remember, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. He wants us to have it in the fullness that God wants us to have it. Psalm 46, verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now notice, Bible says there is a river, one river, but then there are many streams from that one river. Say to your neighbor, one spirit having many divine resources to help us in all aspects of our need. Amen. So there is no need in your life that the Holy Spirit does not have a stream for. Be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it physical. You just have to understand that your help comes from the Holy Spirit, the river of God that is in you. and all the wells of salvation are stored up right on the inside of you because the Holy Spirit, the river of God, lives right there. So the wells are in you, in the inner man, that is in your spirit. And we looked at John chapter 4 verse 14 and John chapter 7 verse 38 regarding that. Remember John chapter 4 verse 14, Jesus speaking to that woman at the well of Samaria, told her that she should look to him for the living waters. And the water that he would give to anyone that comes to him will be in that person a water or a well that will spring to eternal life. In other words, the fountain that will be in that person will be such that is flowing forever. It will never stop flowing. Say to your neighbor, the Holy Spirit never stops flowing. So you just need to hook up with him by faith. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit is always in motion. You'll never find the Holy Spirit standing still at any time. Remember in John chapter 3, Jesus himself said, the man that is born of the Spirit is like the wind, always blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But when it blows past you, you can feel its effect. So the Holy Spirit is always in motion. We just need to connect, so to say, with his move by our faith, and then we'll be able to receive help from him in the time of need. That's why we need faith. We need to build ourselves up in faith at all times so that we can connect with the Holy Spirit who has all the help for us. Put your finger there also. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 5. You see, in Christ, we are not serving religion. We are in a relationship with a living Savior. Himself describes himself in John chapter 15 as the true vine, and we are the branches. So we have a connection with him. So there is a potential for us to receive supply from him, just like the branch always receives supply from the vine. So there is the potential. I call it potential because it does not just happen automatically. We have to know how to receive the flow from him, because we are talking about spiritual things now. If you need help from God, you need faith to receive it. Say to your neighbor, without faith, you can't get any help from God, even though you are a child of God. Praise God. So the only thing now that we are guaranteed of as Christians is that we are heaven bound. And even becoming heaven bound required faith. Remember? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, by faith you are saved. I mean by grace you are saved through faith. You see, we needed faith even to become a child of God. And now that we are children of God, we need faith to receive help from him in all areas of need at any point in time. And here in Luke chapter 5, we see that very clearly. This is why we mustn't let the devil complicate things for us. Let us go back to the simplicity of the word and understand that God is not withholding any good thing from any of us. It is our ignorance, number one, and then number two, our disobedience that hinders us, because the devil is the spirit of disobedience and he's a deceiver and a liar. So if you are ignorant, the devil will trick you and rob you. And if you are disobedient, the devil will rob you also, because without obedience to God, you can't get help from him. The devil is the spirit of disobedience. That's why he will try to get you to do anything other than the word of God. When someone steps on your toes, the devil will make you focus on the pain you are feeling rather than what the word of God says you should do in that situation. How many of us have been through that before? We've all been through it. You are feeling the pain, so all you are concerned about is the pain. At that point in time, you are not even remembering that Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You are not even ready to turn any cheek at all. You are ready to even the score. You say, aha, okay, all right. That person thinks I'm a fool. I will show him that I'm not a fool. Without knowing that we are playing into the hands of the devil. Because at that point, am I doing what the word of God says? No. So I'm already in disobedience. So the devil is robbing me without me knowing. And that's how many of us as Christians fall short of God's best for our lives. Because instead of focusing on what the word of God says we should do and getting ourselves in a position to obey God, we just focus on ourselves, focus on our feelings, focus on everything other than what the word of God says. And the devil sneaks in on us and robs us of God's best for our lives. Say to your neighbor, it's time to wake up and begin to draw from the wells of salvation. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Let's pause for a minute. Look at the caliber of people that were sitting where Jesus was preaching. Today, we'll call them the high class of the society. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Very high class. Well read. Let's say, for instance, in this room today, everyone in this place is either a professor or a top scientist. Inventors, professors, and then those who have read theology and they know the history of the Bible from cover to cover. They know everything. They are the caliber of people sitting down listening to Jesus. Yet none of them could get help from him. What a sad story. Why? Because this thing is not by religion. It's only by faith. You can know the Bible from cover to cover. You can even memorize scripture. Know every verse of every chapter of the Bible. And be able to argue the word of God intellectually. And still not get one help from God. That's why we need to wake up and understand that each one of us has to work out our salvation, as the Bible says, with fear and trembling. We cannot just assume that because we are born again, the blessings of God will just fall upon us like ripe cherries. No, it doesn't work that way. The blessings don't just fall on you. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you won't get the blessing. You'll get the opposite. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. No. God is no respecter of persons because God is not a God of double standards. Whether you are Peter or John or James, God deals with every one of his children by the same standard. Moses was the meekest man upon this earth, Bible says. Moses did what God told him to do from the beginning. In going to Pharaoh and saying all the things that God sent him to say until finally he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. But look at the point when he allowed the children of Israel to provoke him to anger. And instead of focusing on what God told him to do, he focused on his feelings and he responded in anger and he disobeyed God in the process. Did God overlook it? I said, Moses, my meek servant. Oh, Moses, the great intercessor that even interceded when I said, Moses, step out of the way. Let me destroy all of these children and I will make another nation of you. I don't know about it. Some of us, I said, God, yeah. That would be a nice idea. A new nation called Moses' generation. That's wonderful. I make a great name for myself. God, yeah, it's a good idea because these children, since I've been leading them, they've almost killed me myself. They are stiff-necked people. Just, okay, let me step out of the way. Do you want me to step to the right or to the left? Oh, God, wipe them off. If you need help, I'm ready to help you knock some of them off too. And then just make a new nation of me. You know, me and you, God, we are polished. That's how some of us would have thought today. But because Moses was a selfless person, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the people. And he was thinking about the reputation of God. And he's saying to God, God, if you do this, all these heathen nations, they will say you are not a good God. They will say you are not a God who keeps promises. You told the children of Israel that you are taking them out of Egypt to take them somewhere. Now you fail to do it and you destroy them. What do you think the people will say? And God said, oh, okay, all right. Okay then, all right. All right, I'll listen to you. Now, did God say, you are the same Moses that intercessed before? So it doesn't matter now. You disobey me, don't worry. Let's just overlook that too. No, God said, well, because you have not sanctified me in the presence of these people. You have not honored me. You have disobeyed me. Therefore, you can't take them to the promised land. I'll make you see it, but you can't get in there. If God did that to Moses, do you think he will overlook our disobedience too? No. He won't overlook our disobedience in terms of helping us. The only thing that we are guaranteed of now is that we are going to heaven if we die in Christ. Because we were saved by grace. The mercy of God is taking us to heaven. Not our good works. But as long as we are in this world, every time we need help, we have to obey God. If you don't obey the word of God, forget about getting help from Him. You can shed tears all day long. You can roll on the ground. You can weep. God will not even mind you one bit. You say, well, instead of you wasting time, you know the right thing to do. I told you already, just do it and then I will do what I promise you. Have you forgotten David, a man after God's heart? Our Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that he wept until he couldn't have tears to shed anymore. Did God move to help him? No. It was only when he began to inquire of the Lord, when he began to seek the word of God to do it, that he got help. And God said, okay, now pursue the Amalekites, you will recover all. Say to your neighbor, God is not moved by our tears. He is only moved by our faith and our obedience. Amen. So faith and obedience go together. When you are in faith, you are in obedience to God because you are living by the word of God. So, the caliber of people that were there listening to Jesus was not important to move Jesus to help them. The only thing that moved Jesus to help somebody in that place on that day was faith. We all know the account very well. This paralyzed man was brought in by his friends. And let's drop down to verse 20. And when he saw their faith, that's the key. The power of God was present to heal everybody that was in that room. Not one of them got any healing. Not because the provision was not there, but because they lacked faith to make the connection with the power. Until somebody came that had faith and that person was able to connect with the power of God and God is healing. Say to your neighbor, God is no respecter of persons. If you want help, you need faith. The provision is there already, but you need faith to connect with the power of God and draw from the wells of salvation. Amen. So we see that very clearly. The power was present to heal them, but they weren't getting anything. And let us establish again at this point that the power of God to help us is within every one of us. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And that is the power of God. And that is the river of God. That Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because every Christian, as Jesus promised to that woman at the well of Samaria, that anyone that believes in him, he will give them the living water to be in them. A well springing up to eternal life. Because Jesus is the only one that gives us the Holy Spirit. No man can. He's the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So the river is in you. The help is in you. All you need to make the connection is faith. Or obedience to the word of God. That's all you need. It doesn't matter what your need may be in this place this morning. You don't even need to tell me. If you just stand upon the word of God and obey God, the power of God in you will go into motion and get the job done. You don't need a prophet to tell you how your situation will end if you obey God, because we have the sure word of prophecy that already guarantees that if we obey God, this will be the outcome. If you obey, the blessings will come. God is no respecter of persons. That's why we have to know what to do in the time of need, because the provision is already there. The wells of salvation, they are already within us. Some of us, instead of developing our faith and tapping into what we have within us, we are going about looking for help in wrong places. And that's why we get frustrated at the end of the day. We are looking for help where God is not present. Are you going to get help from that place? God is not present outside of his word. Say to your neighbor, God is not present outside of his word. Because God and his word are one and the same. So when you need help, don't go outside of the word of God. Don't lean on your human understanding. Acknowledge God and you'll get the help. Amen. So don't think you know better than God. Don't say, well, this is how everybody does it in the world. God says, don't be conformed to the world. So the moment you try to do it like the people of the world, you're already not with God. You can't get help from God. We have to know all these basic things and give no place to the devil. Bible says we must not give him place. We are the ones that give place to the devil, and then the devil robs us, and then we keep complaining all day long, and then we are looking for somebody to blame. No, you take responsibility and say to yourself, I'm the one doing something wrong somewhere. That's why the devil is sneaking in on me. Let me shut the door in his face and he will have no place anymore. There's no point fooling ourselves. The wells of salvation are there. God has not blocked it. In fact, if somebody is trying to stop the flow in you, it is the devil. Remember how Isaac was opening up the wells that his father Abraham dug? You know what the Bible says? The Philistines will go and stuff it up. That's like the devil. That's like the devil. Because he doesn't want you to get the water. He knows what is in the well. And he's trying to prevent you from getting it. So say to your neighbor, don't allow the devil to stuff your wells with his garbage. Clean your heart and let the river flow. Amen. You know, I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. If, for instance, you have a bitterness on the inside, the river will not flow. You won't get one help from God. You can roll on the ground. You can quote scripture from now till kingdom come. You won't get one single help from God. I'm telling you the truth. These are the ways the devil robs us. That's why Bible says, be careful so that the root of bitterness in you springing up will even defile many people. You know how when you are bitter in yourself, you complain all day long and you try to get other people to share of that bitterness. When people come to you with bitterness, you better say, bro, just pray. Roll the keys on Jesus. Don't let them corrupt you with their bitterness, because they will defile you, Bible says. They will defile you. You don't want somebody to stuff your own well. So if their well is stuffed, help them to remember that they need the well to be unstuffed so that it can flow. But don't let them stuff your own up with rubbish also. Or you are praying and binding the devil, but you have unforgiveness in you. How many people know that the devil has already bound that person? Because Jesus said, along with prayer, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Why? Because if you are praying and you have unforgiveness, God is not listening. You can't even get any help from God, and the river cannot flow in you because the Holy Spirit cannot do anything apart from what God is doing. So if God is not helping you, the Holy Spirit is not moving one bit to help you too. They work together in harmony. So it's you that have to get yourself to obey God, and God will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. So faith is the key to getting help from God, or as we say, obedience. So the power of God was present to heal, but nobody was getting any help from Jesus until those who had faith came, and suddenly they were able to connect with the power, or as we say, they were able to draw from the wells of salvation. Because wherever Jesus is present, the wells of salvation are available. He brought us salvation, as we said last week. And then we said also then that salvation and joy are always linked together. Because salvation brought joy, and joy draws out the benefits of salvation. You see, that's the relationship we find in Scripture. Salvation and joy always are linked together in the Bible. Why? Because salvation brought joy. When Jesus came as the Savior, joy came to this world. Remember, that was what the angel said in Luke chapter 2. And he said, oh, fear not, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy that shall be unto all people. You see? Why? Because unto you this day is born the Savior. You see the key? Joy has come because the Savior has come. So joy came because salvation came to this earth. And now that joy has come because of salvation, it is the same joy that will help us draw from the benefits of salvation when we have need. Say to your neighbor, if you lack joy, you don't have bucket to draw from the well, and therefore you can't get the water out. You begin to see now? You need joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Heaven is a joyful place. There is no sorrow in heaven. There is no sadness in heaven. And heaven has abundance of salvation for us all, because salvation came down from heaven. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 51. You see, once we understand these basics, then we'll realize how the devil robs us. You see, Bible says we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, because God has revealed the truth to us. So if we are ignorant, it is because we did not study the scriptures, number one. And then secondly, it is because we have not made the personal choices necessary to live by the word of God. Many of us are still living by our feelings rather than living by the word of God. Isaiah chapter 51. Let's read verse 11 together. Let's go. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Hallelujah. Are you the redeemed of the Lord? Ah, well, if you are a Christian, you are the redeemed of the Lord. And you know what Bible says here should be the portion of the redeemed of the Lord in verse 11 again. Therefore, why the word therefore? Well, again, we have to take the word of God in context. God is saying something that led to the word therefore. We can pick it up from about verse 9. And we'll get it in a bit of context there, because it says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old, art thou not it that hath caught Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? You can see he's talking here about the arm of the Lord. Saying, awake, awake, arm of the Lord. Who is that arm of the Lord? That is Jesus, the Savior. That is Jesus, the Savior. The one seated on the right-hand side of the Father. Very God himself. Our Emmanuel, God with us, that came to this earth as a man to save us from the sin of Adam. And he's saying the saved of the Lord, the ransomed of the Lord. You see, because God is using Israel as a pointer to the salvation that we will all enjoy in Christ, just as we read also from Isaiah chapter 12, remember? And then in chapter 11, he's talking about how Jesus will be the ensign even for the Gentiles also. And how his rest will be glorious unto all those that have faith in him. So he's talking about the salvation that Jesus brings, and he's saying that those who are saved shall have, look at verse 11 again, that they shall have everlasting joy. Not joy one moment and then sorrow the next. Say to your neighbor, everlasting joy is your portion. No time for sorrow at all. It is joy always. Amen. So therefore, if I'm feeling sorrowful, I should wake myself up immediately. Say, no, I'm in the wrong feeling. Something is wrong here. This is not my portion. The devil is trying to rob me of what belongs to me. Joy is my portion, not sorrow. Then I should then challenge myself. Say, rejoice in the Lord. Then you speak to your soul and say, my soul, hope in God. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. You see, this is why we have to understand these things. And then we can hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ when we know the truth. You don't need someone to tell you when you are not abiding in the truth. If you know the truth, you can examine yourself. Bible says whether you are in the faith. So if I'm sitting down eating the bread of sorrows, I don't need somebody to come and kick me up. I should get myself and say, hey, what am I doing? This is not my portion. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I should have everlasting joy. Devil, you are a liar. You are not going to rob me of my joy. I resist you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let any sorrow come in here, because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And when you do that, the power of God on the inside of you will rise up. And suddenly you become like a giant. Because you are willing to obey God, you see. When you are willing, the Holy Spirit goes into motion. You may be small on the outside, but greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. David looked small on the outside, but he brought down the giant Goliath. Because he knew the greater one in him. Stop looking at yourself and focus on Jesus, your Savior, who brought you the wells of salvation. All right, get your pen and paper. I'm going to give you some points as we close. So how do we then draw from the wells of salvation? How do we draw? The wells of salvation are there for us. Right within us. In our belly. And we have access to that river of God at all times. Whether in the daytime or in the nighttime. In every situation. It doesn't matter where we are. That river is in us. So wherever we are, the river is there. The wells of salvation are within us. And we have to just know how to draw. That's all. We just need to know how to draw. Please write this down. Number one. How do I draw from the wells of salvation? Number one. I need the attitude of joy. I need the attitude of joy. Say to your neighbor, you need the attitude of joy. If you don't have joy, nothing else will work for you as a Christian. We just read it, the ransom of the Lord. You see how the devil tries to rob us or try to stuff the well with garbage. Because he knows. See, the devil knows the Bible more than many Christians. Bible says the devils even believe, they tremble. The devil knows that the moment you lose your joy, you can't draw anything from God. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You need the atmosphere of joy for the Holy Spirit to move. Because the Holy Spirit is not the spirit of sorrow. It's just like you're taking fish out of water and thinking that you are going to get the fish operating. No, you have to put the fish in water. The fish needs the environment of water to express itself. The Holy Spirit needs the atmosphere of joy to express himself. He is the spirit of joy. That's why David, a man that went through so much problem, many problems than you and I have ever been through in life. That man had plenty of problems. From the time he killed Goliath, he had problems until the time he died. Because the devil was after him all the time. The Philistines were always there. Even in his own home, in his own family, there was problem. His own son rose up against him. You begin to see that it wasn't easy for this man. But you know one thing he said, which Jesus himself quoted from. That's why I love David. No matter his problems, he always meditated on God. And the Spirit of God will comfort him. The Spirit of God will move him to begin to declare words of faith in the midst of his trouble. And that was how God was always helping him to have victory. Every war he fought, he had victory. He said in Psalm 16, he said right there in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. And yet he had much problems. So what was he saying? I'm not looking at my problems. I'm not focusing on my troubles. I'm not focusing on the Philistines that are always gathering against me. I'm not focusing on Absalom that is risen up against me. I'm not even focusing on Ahithophel, my counselor, that has turned against me now. I'm not focusing on all those ones, all those things. My focus is on God. I have set the Lord always, keyword, always before me. So my focus is on God. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See the key? No problem will move me. Because my focus is on God. And it goes on to say, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. So he will get himself to rejoice in God. So the number one thing you need in order to draw from the wells of salvation is joy. And once you get that, the three other things we are going to mention that you need to draw from the wells of salvation will go into motion because they are things that the Holy Spirit will help you get done if you will just do the first one and rejoice in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will take over. And it will begin to lead you. Remember, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The reason why many of us are not led by the Spirit of God is because we have not given him the right environment to operate. I'm in trouble sitting down, thinking about my problems, being sorrowful, then being bitter, and then looking for somebody to blame, and I want to be led by the Spirit. No, the only leading I'll get then is a rebuke from him. Saying, like God rebuked Elijah. What are you doing here in the cave? You need to get out of here. This is not the place for you. The only help you get from the Holy Spirit when you are sitting down eating the bread of sorrow is get out of that place. Why are you in a cave? Get out of that place. That's not the place for you. And then when you listen to him and stir yourself up and say, oh, I will rejoice. Oh, I'm sorry for letting the joy escape. Oh, joy, 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 rise up in me. Then the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you now. Because he can't lead you outside of joy. He is the spirit of joy himself. So, say to your neighbor, once you get yourself to rejoice. And I'm going to say that again. Get yourself to rejoice. Say it one more time. Get yourself to rejoice. Because joy doesn't happen automatically. You have to make a choice and stir it up. That's it. If you sit down there and you just want to be rejoicing, how many people know it doesn't work now? It's the opposite. Because by the time you count all your problems, I bet you by the time you go from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the joy is already gone. The joy is already gone. And then you are wondering, how come I'm feeling so drained? No energy to do anything. Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength, you see. And the devil knows it. You've allowed him to block the river of joy in you. You see, the river didn't go out of you, but the river is not flowing because it is blocked. So you need to unblock it. Get all the garbage out of the way and let the river flow again. So it's you that will make up your mind and say, I will rejoice. We read that last time. Remember? Okay, turn with me quickly there. And then I'll give you the other points and we just close. And then when you get to them, you can study those on your own. Because once you understand how to tie the hands together, then you'll be able to fish for yourself when you need fish. If you know how to go to the river and catch fish, you'll never be hungry. Isn't that so? But if you need to keep going to somebody to give you fish, that's not very good. How about if the person is not available? Then you go hungry. But if you know how to catch fish for yourself, because fish is always there, you just need to go to where the fish is, and then you can catch one. That's it. And that's what God wants for every one of us. He wants every one of us as his children to know the truth for ourselves. You don't need to depend on somebody else's knowledge to work out your own salvation. You have to know the truth for yourself so that you can draw from the wells of salvation for yourself in the time of need and glorify God all your days here on earth. Habakkuk. Thank God for prophet Habakkuk. Thank God for all the prophets that are in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. Look at what is said in verse 18. Look at the background. Everything is failing. On the outside, no reason to rejoice. In fact, many of us in that kind of situation will just be complaining all day long. We'll just be complaining. Why is this not working? Why is that? Why is it? Why is it? But I'm yet to see somebody complain and please God. If all the children of Israel that complained in the wilderness, all of them perished. Not one of them made it to the promised land. Because complaint is not of God. It's of the devil. God is a God of joy and praise and thanksgiving. That's why the Bible says in everything, give thanks. That is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Don't be like the people of the world, always complaining. Oh, this is not working. Why is this so? Oh, this is not that. Why is that so? Oh, no. You don't do that. You give praise to God and say, bless God. Hallelujah. I may not understand why, but I know God knows and He is on my side. If God be for me, none can be against me. That's what we should be saying as Christians. Not leaning on the arm of flesh. So he said, yet I will. Please underline that in your Bible. I will. I will means I choose to. It is my own will. I make the choice. You know, God has given us the willpower. Every one of us has it. Nobody can choose for you. You have to choose for yourself. You can only advise somebody, but you can't choose for them. So it is your choice to either rejoice or to be sorrowful. It's your choice. And God will not tell you to choose what you don't have power to choose. So you have the power to choose to rejoice. Bible says rejoice. I say again, rejoice. And Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. In other words, just rejoice. In Acts chapter 16, Bible says Paul and Silas were in prison, and in verse 25, in the midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises unto God. You see, they made the right choice. They could have been there complaining or feeling sorry for themselves. You see, you have to choose to rejoice. So when you begin to see yourself losing the place of joy, wake up immediately and say, well, I will rejoice. How do you do that? You just make a choice and say, well, I'm going to rejoice like Habakkuk did. Initially, it may be like a struggle, but just get on it and say, praise God. Oh, I rejoice. You may just begin and say, oh, I choose to rejoice in God. Hallelujah. I rejoice in God, my Savior. I rejoice in God, my healer. I rejoice in God, my way maker. I rejoice in God, the God of my breakthroughs. I rejoice in God, the God who gives victory to me in every situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the moment you begin to go that way, the Holy Spirit rises up in you and takes over. And then it will lead you to do the next three things. So the next three things, which again will only work when the attitude of joy is there. If the attitude of joy is not there, all these other three will not work. And you begin to see why we spend so much time praying and get little results. Because the attitude is wrong. God focuses more on the attitude than our expression of this religious, if you want me to use that word, exercises. Because you can do something the right way or the wrong way. So it's not just about doing it for doing sake. No. You have to do it the right way for it to get results. So, prayer. In front of that, Psalm 34, verses 17 and 19. Please look up those scriptures when you get home. Or let's put it in this order. After the attitude of joy, let's put faith next. Faith, because the first thing the Holy Spirit will try to get you to do, is the spirit of faith, is to lead you to the Word of God. In that situation, what the Word of God says, so that you can release your faith accordingly. So let's put faith or believe with your heart and your mouth first and foremost. Romans chapter 10 verses 6 to 10. Look that up when you get home. Then secondly, prayer. Psalm 34 verses 17 and 19. And lastly, praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 20 to 24. And Acts chapter 16. Verses 25 and 26. Again, once you choose to rejoice and get the attitude of joy. So for the attitude of joy, please write these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 17 and 18. First Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Please, in context, read it from verse 3 to 9. You see, in verse 8, Bible says, even though we have not seen, you see, when you believe, you don't need to see a sign. Yet you are rejoicing with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You see, that's the key. You choose to rejoice. Forget about sight. You rejoice in God, the God of your salvation, and the Holy Spirit will turn the situation around for you. So, again, attitude of joy, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, in context from 3 to 9. Oh, all right, I'll go again slowly. I'll slow down a little bit. Again, the first thing is an attitude of joy. If we want to draw from the wells of salvation. If we don't have joy, we don't have any bucket to draw, so we are not going to get anything. Even if you are praying at that time or praising God, nothing will work because the Holy Spirit is not there. The Holy Spirit has to be there to help your prayer to be fruitful. The Holy Spirit has to be there to help your praise to be pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit has to be there to make your faith to be effectual. You need the Holy Spirit. And it cannot help you unless you have that attitude of joy. It's the spirit of joy. So, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. In context, from verse 3 to 9. And then, once the attitude of joy is there, the next thing is faith. Again, it's the Holy Spirit that will be helping you to do the next steps. It will build, it will bring to your remembrance what the Word of God says concerning that need. You just find yourself remembering, oh, it is written. So it's now helping you to take the next step of faith, to believe according as it is written, so that God can help you in that situation. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 10. And then next to that is prayer. Again, the Holy Spirit will be the one leading you into prayer. As it stirs up faith in you, it will get you to stand your ground and commune with God on the basis of His word that applies to that need, and to say, Lord, be it done in my life according to your word. Psalm chapter 34, verses 17 and 19. And then lastly, praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 to 24, and Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Praise God. So say to your neighbor, believers, rejoice in God always. Believers, believe the word of God always. Believers, pray according to the word of God always. And believers, praise God always. They don't complain. They are always thanking God in every situation. And they always have the victory because God helps them. The river of God flows for them. And by their faith, they draw from the wells of salvation with joy. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. And just lift your hands to God. No matter what your need may be, no matter what the situation, you begin to see why the devil always gets us to be sad when things are not working fine. Because he knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He knows that the joy of the Lord is what will help us to draw from the wells of salvation. And if he can stop us from having what we need to get help, then we are not going to get help. You begin to see the devil is a strategist. He's a strategist. But thank God we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why we must not be sorrowful. in Psalm chapter 42, the psalmist, when he realized that his soul was downcast. If I turn there with me and use that scripture to pray right where you are. When he saw that he was feeling low in his emotions. When he saw that he was feeling sorrowful and sad. He suddenly realized he was in the wrong place. He suddenly realized he was not going to get help from God in that kind of situation. And he made a choice to challenge his soul to hope in God. That's what you and I need to do at all times, because we need the joy of the Lord to get help from God. We need the joy of the Lord to draw from the wells of salvation. Whenever you find that that joy is not flowing the way it should be, immediately check yourself and say, no. The devil is trying to rob me of what belongs to me in Christ. I'm not going to give him any place to do that. I'm going to rejoice in God. Psalm 42, verse 5. Again, when you get home, study the whole chapter. And you get it in context, because the psalmist was going through some hard times here. He was shedding tears and he was just weeping and crying. In verse 3, he said, "My tears have been my meat day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" You see, that's the devil. He puts you in trouble and then he's speaking to your mind and say, "Well, I have you where I want you. You're not going to get out of this. This is how you are going to end up. You're not going to overcome this." You tell that devil, "Shut up, devil. You are a liar. I know who I am. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And with God on my side, I'm more than a conqueror in every situation." And then in verse 5, he went on to say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." You see? I want you to open to that verse. Perhaps you've been sorrowful of late. Perhaps you even came into this service this morning burdened with all your problems, and you've not really had the joy that you would have wanted to have, and you are feeling low in energy, because you see, Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine, but a sad countenance dries up the bones. You see, again, the devil just catches us at the word of God. He says, "I'll make them sorrowful." Because once they are sorrowful, they will lack energy to do anything. They will just sit down and be useless. And they will be there mournful. And they will be there griping and moaning and complaining all day long. And they will not get one help from God. So I can corner them in the corner I want them to be in that area of their life. And they can't get any help, because God can't help them unless they have joy. So you begin to say to yourself, "Hope thou in God, I will praise him." Oh, Habakkuk said, "Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." Now I want you to go ahead and just begin to praise God. Forget about that need and just focus on God. Just begin to say, "God, I rejoice in your salvation. Oh, you are my healer. I rejoice in your salvation. You are my peace. I rejoice in your salvation. You are my victory in every battle of life. I rejoice in your salvation." You see, that's how to do it. You just begin to say that to yourself. "My soul, rejoice. My soul, rejoice in God. My soul, rejoice. Rejoice. There is hope for you in God. My soul, rejoice." When you make up your mind to do that, the Holy Spirit rises up on the inside of you. And suddenly, it begins to lead you in prayer, lead you in praise, lead you to believe God for the victory he has promised you in his word. So go ahead and tell your soul to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we rejoice in you here this morning. We choose to rejoice in your salvation. We challenge our souls to hope in you no matter the need, because there is help for us in God. As the psalmist said, many may be those that are against us. Many may be those that say there is no help for us in God. But we will believe because we are believers. We will hope because we are hopeful in Christ Jesus. Because we know that you are the glory and the lifter up of our heads. There is no trouble that comes our way that you have not already given us victory over in Christ Jesus. And so by joy, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. Lift your hands to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I touch and agree with everyone under the sound of my voice. Because you said so in your word, that if any two shall touch and agree together concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of you, our Father who is in heaven. And Lord, I thank you that as your people rejoice in you, you minister the help to them at all points of need. And you help them to taste of your goodness in the land of the living. Thank you, thank you, thank you for these streams of help flowing right now to everyone in this assembly and all our fellow brethren everywhere, ministering divine help to each and everyone at all points of need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him. And let's just sing this song together. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Joy is your portion forever. And victory is yours in every situation. I tell you, there is great strength in joy. And when you rejoice, the power of the Holy Spirit will always take over and give you the victory in the situation. Never allow sorrow in your heart or in your soul, because you are the redeemed of the Lord. Everlasting joy is your portion. No matter what may be happening all around you, be like Habakkuk and say, yet I will rejoice. And you will find out that the victory will come to you faster than you realize. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.